Hello, is this Heather Littler?
It is, yes.
How are you doing? My name is Mr. Cordell, Simon Cordell.
Yeah.
And I was just calling. I've been through yourselves. I've got a few emails that you've been put in receipt of in regards to the problems that I'm having with my caseload at my house. There's a lot of problems with a few problems that I was having with the company head that you represent. Basically, the company head... Is it okay to go through a couple of things with yourself?
You might not be talking to the right person. You might need to speak to someone who's sort of in the know about
it. I've got it. You're definitely here. I'm definitely talking to you, the correct person. I've got your letter here.
Yes.
Chief Executive at enfield.gov.uk, 24th of November 2016. I've done a report. I put all your emails into a full official report, and I've done a questionnaire because there was lots of things that I'm very upset about joint circular within a malfeasance of office within your office. And fraudulent act under the Companies Act, and breaches of the Leasehold and Tenancies Reform Act, and breaches of the Child Protection Act, subsection B25. There's lots of things that I'm very concerned about. I've been recording lots of conversations with your company members since 2014. Now, there was...
Yeah.
Your company has to be in support for... It started with something very simple. How it initially started I kept coming into the Civic Centre and I kept asking for support in throwing a community event, a CIC, building a community CIC company, and I kept going to Enfield Enterprise and I was working with lots of other companies like in doing local events in the local area. I kept getting pushed away by your Civic Centre, pushed away. I maybe wasn't ready, didn't have the proposals, didn't understand about the statutory duties and things like that have to be done at the time. So I ended up meeting the people on the streets and I invested in the sound system. Yeah, we threw a few parties from 2012 was my first ever party that I threw, a private party, until 2013. Now, 2012, so it's 1 year in London streets. Before that, I was selling this stuff called laughing gas, balloons and that for a few years, saving my money before that. So only 1 year in London did I ever have a sound system and ever throw parties. In 2013, what initially happened is the Metropolitan Police, this had nothing to do with your company head, but the Metropolitan Police come to me and they arrested me for throwing a woman's birthday party called Becky. She had 6 children. She was always there in the community helping us. Met her, a lovely woman. She had life really hard. So I was quite keen on helping her for anything she wanted. It was her birthday. So we threw a birthday party outside for her in South London. Police shut us down. And we got told to move on to the location. So we moved on the location to where she had been living under a subsection 144 under a LASBO. So we went to the police. The police were okay with everything. Basically, a few months later, the police come to my house and arrested me for handling stolen goods for a gazebo that was set up in my back garden. I said it got stolen. I got put on stringent bail conditions. So 2013, after a year of throwing parties and getting turned away by the council, yourselves and that, which I've got emails and all that proving all this because I was writing for my personal license and stuff to the licensing departments. Basically, what initially happened is I got put on curfew for a year. I stayed on curfew for a year. I managed to prove that the case wasn't my fault. I got the case dropped after that year, but I had my passport taken off me. I wasn't allowed to enter the central London, and I had a nightclub in Brixton that I was managing. So I had a brand new nightclub what I was managing, and I lost the contract for that because of it. Now, after I had my passport in, I had to give £1,000 in surety. I had to sign on at the police station at 4 o'clock every day. And at 8 o'clock, I had to be on curfew in my house. I won the case after a year anyway, but this destroyed my 13-year relationship that I was with, my first ever love. Yeah, me and Diana together. Yeah, it destroyed our lives, yeah. So this is the first girl I ever slept with. She's living in my house 13 years. I lived in this council house 9 years with her. At this stage, I put a freedom of information request into yourselves to make sure that there was no complaints. And you sent me a freedom of information request saying that there's never been a complaint on your behalf about me or any other member of my public or nothing. I'm a good citizen, basically, still, yeah? Next thing I know, I won the case. The second that I won this case, I'd lost Diana. I went out and I met another partner. Yeah, I was let out my house after being kept on curfew all of 13 to 14. Yeah, so I won the case.
Yeah.
And then basically, I went out and met another partner. The second that I won that, met that partner, I started looking after her child. We're painting the kids' bedroom in her house. We've been together 8 months. I agreed to have a baby with her. She said, she's feeding me the food now. Diana's gone. So I loved her, looked after her, took care of them. Done my best for them, yeah? Now, I've got all the emails still today. We were talking, me and her have never had an argument in our lives. Yeah, I still talk to her to date now, and I've got every text off of her to date now, yeah? Now, she's locked herself in her house with her baby. Yeah, because of what's happened, and I've locked myself in my house because of what's happened, what continued after this, yeah? Now, straight after I won the case and I was looking after and painting the kid's bedroom, she said, we agreed to have a baby, she said she's going to go to the clinic and get checked. She went to the clinic, when she's in the chair, the woman said, you ain't got a problem internal, you've got a problem external, a spot on the top of your arse. Now, she's come back to me while I'm painting the kids' bedroom, Heidi's bedroom, because Heidi used to cry downstairs because she used to get... They shouldn't have a bedroom when I went there. Yeah, so she lives in a beautiful house. So I called my mates and got the bedroom plastered. We painted it, done all the Disney stuff. While I'm doing it, Shannon's walked into me and said to me, sit down, Sian, let's talk. I need to talk to you. Said, oh, something about herpes. I might have gave her herpes or something like that. Said, oh, that's impossible. I've been in my first relationship anyway. Me and her never argued. So I went to my own clinic. Yeah, I went to Evergreen, I said a South London clinic. I went into the clinic, done my blood test, I forced a blood test because I had no symptoms. Yeah, in forcing that blood test, because I phoned up my past partner, Diana, and explained to her the circumstances, I asked her to go and do a test, and I asked another partner to do a test. I explained to Stan the ongoings. My next door neighbour, the old man Stan, who's like a father. I'd do everything for him. Push the chairs up the road that he sits in. When he fell over, I took him to the doctor. I've never been rude to him. I loved him. I told him when the time comes, I'd wipe his bum for him to make sure that he can stay in that flat. I loved him like a father, yeah? So I spoke to him and said, look, I've been accused of this and I feel a bit upset. Now, what happened? At that moment in time while this was going on, the police threw an ASBO outside my front door, which your company was in support of, and a meeting was held on the third page with a Jane Johnson, the commanding borough officer. Now, what initially happened is, I looked at the photo and I was quite knocked off my feet sort of thing. It accused me of six parties that I had never thrown, yeah? Now, so I found out the names of all these parties. Two of the people, I knew the people. I knew who the organisers are, I know them, and it's not wrong to know people. So now the other four I didn't know. They're young children below my generation and below the generation that I saw. I don't even know who they are. They could be your children. Now, what this application done was try to make me grasp all of these people up and say, well, that ain't me. They ain't my parties. They're your parties. So what I done, me and my mum done, we went to Facebook and we looked at the offence that these people had set up and we copied the Facebook profiles. So I've got all the Facebook profiles for the people that organised the events in real life. I looked at the case and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to grasp my friends in or these associates, and I'm not going to do the police's job for them. So I wrote a massive first statement, yeah, which says I looked at the laws and I understood what I represented on this land and the land that I live off, being a British citizen, and understood that private parties are in our home are regulated under the Licensing Act. So second, we're allowed to have private parties in our home. We're allowed to charge money. The only thing we're not allowed to do in our home is have an intention to make a profit, run a commercial building, yeah? And we cannot continuously, frequently throw parties in the same house because that can cause disturbance. And the Christine and Davey, who were the first person that caused the talk noise of banging at each other, yeah? Which where the noise problems come into the thing, yeah? I understand everything. I understand the nominee laws. I understand the Magna Carta. I got given Glastonbury's management system. If I ever showed you the work I've got here, I wrote a brand new constitution, model constitution for the people. I've done a lot of stuff here, yeah, that ain't been shown to anybody yet. And all of mine's plagiarised. I've got 100% in grammar, 100% in traditional words. I've got 100%. I'm off the rocker, I'm telling you, with what I do. Yeah, I'll show anybody. I'll do a test with anybody and I'll knock them over. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, what I've done, yeah, is because I knew this, I looked at the paperwork and I noticed that there were sections on all the doors on the cases. So I went to court with my section and said, like, I'm building my company. This is what I'm doing. I'm building a festival. I'm in contact with the licensing department. I'm doing this, doing that. Showed them all the good stuff in the application. And I showed them, look, there was a section on the door under the licensing act. You've got no rights here. So you call this the organisation of illegal raves. Yeah, so it must be illegal and I must... I must be arrested for something that's illegal. You forgot to arrest me. You've not called it the organisation of raves. You've said it's an illegal offence. So my barristers had a go at them. 15 of the highest coppers went to court. They kept trying to get the ASBO on me. At first, when they first serve you, it becomes an injunction order. So now, in 2014, they've served this injunction order on me. I'm going to court and I'm explaining to a judge this is wrong. Now, five judges threw the case on the floor and walked out the courtroom in 2014 and refused to hear the case. Said they refused to hear this case. All of a sudden, because Sally Gilhurst, she had signed up, by this day, she had done about 400 grand on the case. She's the executive director of Hogan House Solicitors in Scotland Yard. Yeah, now, I've got Sally on loads of recordings telling her the inaccuracies within this case, and she's... I'm not... Anyway, I'll continue slowly, yeah? But what happened is, I went to... they couldn't get the case on me. Yeah, all the judges were laughing, all on my side, like the Robin Hood. I was a good person. So what they done is, my next-door neighbour, Ozzy, I must have come home on my own one day after talking to Shannon about this. I've done my nut a bit in my house. Oh, bloody hell, this is a bit of shit. And Ozzy must have heard me. So he's phoned up the police and told the police what was going on between in my personal life. So the police phoned up the doctors and sent the doctors to my house for the first time. Yeah, the doctors come to my house. Now, this is all on my medical notes in Rio on the computers. I've got a copy of it all here, yeah? So, now, the second that my personal data under the Protection Act, Ozzy gave that to the police shouldn't use it, it's protected under the DPA, and it should never have been entwined back into the public's view and entangulated, yeah? Because it became a sex scandal in mine and Shannon's name. We've never argued, we've never had a dispute, yeah? And it's become a sex scandal, and I'm very hurt. I feel endangered, my life's been put at risk in the public for something I've never done. So, anyway, I went to the clinic, I got my blood test. When the woman phoned me back to give me my results, she said to me, Simon, sit down, you can't have sex with anyone ever again, you can't even have contraception with a condom, I've got it all on recording, you can't kiss anyone ever again. So when I put the phone down her, I broke my heart, thinking, oh my God, she's like, you've got it, you're fucked for herpes, yeah? I was like, fucking hell, so use my French, broke my heart, sort of thing, yeah? And so I'm sitting there, now, she didn't call me in for no meeting or nothing. I'm sitting in my house feeling bad. I'm trying to still look after Shannon. It's priceless what's happened here, yeah? Shannon's mum went and hanged herself over all of this, and she's died, yeah? And basically, what continued to happen was, without messing it up, I got served the ASBO. When I got served the ASBO, they kept trying to get on me, couldn't get on me. Went to court, I showed Sally and all that they were wrong and that I had the Facebook profiles in the beginning and that they were wrong in what they were accusing me, but I'm not going to give them to them and be a grass. Yeah? Sally still refused to listen and she refused to do what she was doing. So now, finally, they managed to dirty my name in the public with this sex scandal. So I went to court, yeah, and now all of a sudden they've got some woman judge who all she does is deals with children. Yeah, who have been assaulted and in sex offenders. So they've changed this. They've got some dirty judge against me. I looked at her statistics online. And all she does is kill people for the right reasons. Now, somehow they've got me in front of this judge and she set me bang up. Yeah, she goes, I'm giving you the injunction order and conditions. Yeah, I said, this is that. So now, in 2014, after that 6-8 months of them chasing me, they got the injunction conditions. Yeah, so I got put in my house a bit longer. Now, by 15, a year of chasing me around, £1 million into the application, Sally's finally got me into court with this horrible judge, and they've done me over in the court. That my barrister, 15 police officers, the highest ranking police officers, were there, yeah? So it's like a mirage. I'm thinking, I'm not realising about victims, that there's. I'm writing to them, saying to them, where's the victims? I want the victims to come to court. Without a victim turning up to court, there is no case to answer by a lawyer. Now, the 15 officers all went up and my barrister ripped them to pieces. Each one, you ain't first-hand evidence. Then the police officers are getting off the stand going, oh, we're sorry to the judge and that, yeah? Going, oh, we, because they're admitting, I've got the transcripts, they're admitting, we copied it out of PC King's statement book, and my solicitor's going, oh, this is out of order, you're not allowed to copy out this information. Were you even at the event? All of them going, no, none of us were at this location. So we have 15 coppers in here and none of you were even at the event and there's no witnesses in here. This is illegal what you're doing to him, you've not arrested him, and it's all in the transcripts, and I've got them here now, yeah? Now, I kept saying to them, this is out of order. So I went under the trespass and never wanted no one hurt. So when I come home and they set me up for it, they advertised me in the paper, the Organisation of Illegal Raves, so I got upset. So I started writing back in the response bundle to them. I don't know if you have a copy of the response bundle. Now, I looked and I noticed all the timestamps to the call centres were out of date. So every day their call centre starts under soot regulations, they are, Yes, CD, communication data, they're recorded under EHCR regulations and legalisation. Yeah, under the Regulations and Investigatory Power 2000 Act. Yeah, so this is how we're recording this conversation under NSIR and under our treaties rules. Yeah, now. That call centre starts at 12 o'clock every day. Most members of the public don't know, and it goes CAD 1, CAD 2, CAD 3, CAD 4. That's ID and numeric number. So CAD 500 happens every day. They get 15,000 calls at Bow, Lambeth, and at the other one. Yeah, you've got Arms, Met, CC, and Storm. Now, their CAD start at 500. Say I look at CAD 500, which is the 500 call. It says timestamp 9 o'clock. Now look at CAD 525, it will say 1 o'clock an hour before. Now this happens throughout all the CADs. Yeah. Now when I'm looking in the CADs, it says in the 999 calls, when the bloke called up, he says it's all white males and females on one of the incidents, for instance. It's all white males and females, and the police go there, Inspector Skinner goes there, he nicks a boy called Anthony Harris that I don't know inside the building. I'm not at this point, it's nothing to do with me. Yeah, this is at 10 o'clock, you can see it in the CADs. Yeah, after the in the CADs, then I turn. He blocks the whole gates, has them in the building till 3 o'clock in the morning. Won't release them. I go outside the gates, where he's got surrounded. He de-arrests Anthony Harris in the building, and he nicks me, and I get the blame for the whole lot. Now this is wrong here. Yeah? I hadn't done anything wrong here. Yeah? And now Moses Howe and all that wrote me letters of directors of the companies. If you ever get a copy of the response bundle and look for it. Now, I started saying, well, look, the timestamps are wrong. Then I started noticing that there's no victim signatures at the bottom. So if that you need members of the public on top of your company. So I looked and I noticed all the MG11 forms mean that there's no our personal witness statements. And they have to be signed under oath. Now, even if there was signatures on them and the people refused to go to court, yeah, that means that there's no case to answer. Yeah, now if you looked at, if you went, for instance, if you write about and .co.uk, then you click on about, yeah, and then you scroll to the bottom of it. On the bottom chapter, it explains the rules of on hearsay that if no one attends court and then there is no case to answer. Yeah, there needs to be a victim. So this is all illegal. I'm being held hostage in my house. Now, I keep writing this to Sally, and I've wrote loads of it, and my mum's wrote it, solicitors have wrote it, I've wrote every law, Moses and all the companies. What was even worse is, say there's, out of all of the incidents that I'm accused of, there's only one that there's victims in that are saying that they got kept up overnight. That's why I've got 7 years, yeah? I've done a year for the gazebo, and I've got 7 years for this. The maximum sentence, even if you are arrested, is 6 months. Do 3 months inside. You wouldn't even do the three. You do 2 months inside, 1 month tag, and get released with a maximum sentence 20. I've got 7 years after a year for the gazebo case. That's 8 years of my life gone. Now, I've proved that there's no statements in that folder, and it's illegal for them to hold me. Yeah, it's all in the response bundles. Then all the 99, only place that there was victims supposedly was Progress Way, which is on Lincoln Road, opposite the BMW factory. On the same day, there was a party on Southbury Road in the old man building. While I was on curfew in here, I didn't know the adults were in the old man building. Now, it's the only one with a train station, yeah, in that area. Now, what happened on the day of Progress Way was there's a boy that called Chris. Now, I know him. He was throwing the party in Essex. Yeah, now, when he was throwing the party in Essex, yeah, a police officer called Adrian Combs, who's Essex superintendent, kept going to his house. He kept telling him, Chris, talk to me with respect and we'll do something. Chris kept putting the phone down on him. Yeah, not, and he didn't know how to speak to him about the lingos, the sanitary policies. He didn't know. It was just a good event, and Chris ain't got his head on right. Yeah, so he's speaking now. Adrian Combs owns Big Boss Limited as well. Big Boss Limited is in charge of every festival in London, Glastonbury. He writes all the policies. He understands all the statutory, like how I understand it. All the HM books. He knows the clue. Yeah. Now, Chris didn't know how to speak to him, so in the end, Chris is putting the phone down on him. Sergeant Adrian Combs got fed up when he threw the event in Essex, flew over there in a helicopter, landed in the field with a load of press, took pictures of them all, and served them all an abatement notice, told Chris he's not allowed in that area for 48 hours. Chris moved out of the area, and he's come down to this area while I'm on curfew. They're throwing the party down at Progress Way. They've jumped into the building, or whatever's happened. The police haven't had an argument or dispute that there's a section on the door. Now, I've been called down. They've not come to. I didn't go to the first location. I wasn't involved. But my friends are coming to my area. I've not seen them for a year, so I went to visit the guy, and he said, "Oh, they've got a few little problems here and there." So I said, "Oh, I might be able to help you with a bit of my services here and there." And they're just trying to get a pair of trainers on my feet. I'd been locked up for a year before that, yeah, sort of thing. Next thing I know, yeah. The police have used all of the 999 calls that got made that day, because everyone got out of the train station. They've gone straight into the old man building, didn't they? No one's going to walk up all the way to the top and go to Progress Way. So all the 999 calls on that day got made to Progress Way, to the old man building. Now, I've got all the cans, and they left all the people's numbers in. Now, what you look at is the police officer, they blocked that Cran Road on the top of all the CADs, but they forgot to block out the X to Y locations. So now, when you put the X to Y locations in, it all brings you to Cran Road. Now, under oath, on the day in court, we asked Steve Ellsmore, I've got the transcript, are you sure that all of these locations are Progress Way and that all these nine? He swears under oath, yeah, I'm sure that all these are Progress Way and that there was not another party on this day. Now, I wrote to USDOT, you gave me a Freedom of Information Act proving that you sent council officers to that building on the same day to the old man building, and that you, and I've got the press reports for that as well. I've got all the letters of Sergeant Adrian Combs proving that he sent the folder over here with Chris Lurcher's name and the abatement, and that the Metropolitan Police have took his picture out and put my picture in it. Yeah, I've got, out of all these cases, I couldn't be white, like they're saying. That's what I've been accused of. And all I'm asking for your company to do now, without you and without the victims, there is no case. I was working for you. I had the keys to the community hall. I was managing that for Diana. I'd done my best for that. Yeah, I was doing Lock to Lock Festival before this. I was doing Ponder's End Festival, Kids with Cerebral Palsy, Winchmore Hill. I gave them my CV, and the police went to every single one of these places, the Scouts, the Beavers, in this application, but they never went to one building owner. And they say it in their folders. They've been to everywhere and destroyed my whole life. Yeah, they've locked me in this house. You're locking me in this house now, knowing there's no victims. All I'm asking you to do is call an EGM meeting. Yeah, and under the grounds of trespass, yeah, if you say that there's an error in the user, I've been noticed that there's an error in the law under the grounds of trespass, yeah, then the case will just get dropped under that, and I'll just get a bit bad data payment. I'm going to buy a tent, get a diary, and come up to user. I've got my eyes on a big top tent, and I've got all the policies here now. I'll stick the dates with you. We'll get 20 coppers, and I'll get slowly let back into the community. We'll do something good, yeah? I've got everything USDOT can dream of here. But I've looked at your policies. USDOT do 51st date, yeah? So I go to all the meetings when USDOT go online, yeah? I look at all your policies that you gave 51st date and all the security. That you've got less child's paperwork compared to what I've got here, yeah? I've got the real deal. I've got every folder. I've got everything for everything. Litter control policies. I've got the practices codes. I know everything, yeah? I want to do business. I don't want problems. I don't want to make you all lose your jobs. I just want a bit of back pay for the error in law. I don't want to go and put all of the corruption through the door. But if you don't accept responsibility for this error, Sally Gilhurst ain't going to, because she's put too much, it's cost too much money, and they're ruined. I've got her on tape recording saying all this as well. If I ever showed you, I've got the police on recording when I'm saying, please protect me, and they're spitting down the phone going, you're a black bastard, you've been robbed. I'm going, who are you? He's going, I'm Sergeant Thomason. And I'm going, so he's going, because of Jane Johnson done this, she's a gold member, she can change the timestamps and edit things. At first they were trying to lie to me and tell me I couldn't when I was recording them, yeah? And I was like, well, look, I've spoke to Soup and I wrote to them and they've all gave me the paper. Jane Johnson can do it. Now, I've got them saying, yeah, I will. You're a cunt for fucking... They put her into rural diplomatic protection, basically. Yeah, again, you're black. But I've ever showed you how bad it is. I can't do you justice, yeah? And explain. I wrote a full report. Yeah, Daniel Ellis and all that. Jane, all the emails that went to USDOT in 14 asking USDOT to protect me. I'm having heart attacks. I swear to God, every night I've been having heart attacks in my house. I was 15 stone when I come in here. I'm 8.5 stone now because of the stress USDOT have put me under. Yeah, and all I've done is write for everybody. Yeah, you've left the Matthew Elegant family. They're not even secure tenants. I'm a secure tenant. You've left them up there attacking me. I've got bare videos of it. I couldn't even get in the bathtub with them banging above me, yeah? Banging. I couldn't... Every time I touched the keyboard working, and I've got loads of videos of it. My mum was writing to you, like, explaining about my heart and all the damage you're doing in 14. You refused to pay attention all 14, 15 to all the emails, just a few. All the Joanne Ryan and all the MPs attacked into them all. Dan, Louise Brown, Jackie Gubby, Dawn Ellis, Sarah Fletcher, Lemmy Newton, all the teams are ruined. I've got every single one of them. I phoned them all, recorded them all, got your report that you gave me in 2006 telling me to do it, spun it around, done the problem statements and the problem factuals. I've done every single day since 2006 in detail, and I've used all your emails, and then I've done questionnaires for what you have done. I've been working hard, I'm telling you. And you don't want it on your desk. When I'm asking Daniel Ellis the other day what he's going to do with here, call an EGM meeting with Ian, the executive director of your company, he's telling me no, he's telling me that the first ASBO has nothing to do with Usedot, but the second ASBO does. He didn't realise I'd already beat Usedot for the second ASBO. Yeah, and I'm soon. I've got a printer in my back garden now, yeah, which I'd built after they destroyed my charity. Yeah, and destroyed, because I had a charity bar up too smooth for my CIC, which I built, and I'd built the limited company for myself and my friends to support. They destroyed that, and you let them destroy that. Yeah, I had to go and I bought the printers. Now, I let Louise Brown, Sarah Fletcher in my house to see if she can solve the water problem with a surveyor. She's seen the printers. She's gone back and said, oh, they're industrial printers. That if I don't move them out of my house in 24 hours, they put a possession order in for having a printer in my house. We're building another company slowly. I wasn't running it. I was just getting myself ready, yeah? And last year, now I've had to put the printer in the back garden, and it's in the back garden. I want to bring it back in my house. I've got loads of emails to yourselves asking, can I bring my printer back in? What condition is this a breach of? It's a water-based printer. It's not against the law. I just spent £6,000 on it. Yeah, so because they destroyed my other two companies, and I thought, well, I need to look after some woman that I know. So I built a picture company quickly, getting myself ready. Yeah, and I don't think it's fair that no one would let me bring my printer back in. Then, on top of that, me and that woman I brought another woman in here. We had a baby in her stomach, and you've left these up banging at me. She's had a miscarriage, yeah, and now I've lost my unborn child because of it. I keep writing to you. I keep recording documentaries, videos every day of what's happening in my front room's got a camera in it. My kitchen's got a camera, my bathroom, every room, and I've recorded every day since I've been in this flat. Yeah, and every phone, like, I'm recording this conversation with yourself now, yeah? And then I'm going to take this, I'm going to transcribe all this conversation up and put it in my report, yeah?
Yeah.
And my next aim now is, Daniel Ellis is saying he's got nothing to do with the first ASBO, your company hasn't. You can't call the EGM meeting and call an emergency application back in to get the restrictions taken off me for the error. And the only other option I have now is to give my full report and the backlash of everything that's happened, the use of working in joint circular trying to help them and the rest of it, onto Sally's desk, the executive director, and let her clean up the whole mess. And this use or clean it up yourselves quickly and take control of it, and we don't have to go for the corruption.
So what is it you actually want me to do, just to try and get the ASBO lifted?
I would like you to call an EGM meeting, but with the executive, or talk to Ian. I'd like you to go through the flick through and understand that this is out of the bag, it's gone too long, it's damaging my estate, that a lot of people are in trouble, you don't really need to see the paperwork, it is real, what is here to come to you, yeah? Phone up Sally Gilhurst, who you've done it with, say, Sally, it's gone too far, it's wrong. Yeah, we're gonna...
Sally Gilhurst is...
She's the executive director, yeah, of Hugh Gill Solicitors. Now, Hugh Gill Solicitors is Sir Holgan Howell's solicitor firm. They're in Scotland Yard. Now, she's the one that's been to every court case. She's the executive director of all the law for this country. And she's been to every court case for this, and she's the one that signed all the expenses for the ASBO. Yeah, there's loads of things wrong. Like, they've told Steve Ellsmore to create this application. Steve Ellsmore's gone to a computer, and what he's done is he's gone into the computer, and he's seen the police PNC, and there's been a few times when I've been pulled over, like on a Thursday on Alma Road at 12 o'clock. Yeah, on a Sunday at my mate's house with two scramblers. Now, he's just grabbed all these things out of the computer. Normally, you're allowed to do that, but you put them into a case file, and that's it done. He's opened them up, and then he's edited them. Yeah, now because he's opened them up and he's edited them, he's not allowed to legally do that. And then they're scribbled all in the edit. He's like, Mr. Caudill's a part of a black boy on the block. He's running black boy occupations. He's this, he's that. And then they've added all of this stuff over good things when I'm being pulled over. Now, all these coppers, the other 15 of them, Sally's supposed to protect them. Now, what they've done is because I clocked onto it and got onto Steve's back and Sally's back, they've all re-amended their statements and wrote further statements to reinforce them. But then because of there's no signatures and everything else that's wrong, it just throws them all out the window anyway. So now the whole lot of them have got themselves in trouble. Now the only way for them to clean up is Sally to do the right thing, and she spent too much money on the case. If I play some of the recordings now, I could just show you how bad this is, yeah? It is bloody...
Well, you're speaking to, you do know that, don't
you? Enfield, it takes three people to create an ASBO,
it takes
the council, yeah, to be in support of it takes the police, and it takes the members of the public. So like, if you look in my ASBO form now, and you've got a copy of it in your offices, you go to the third page.
We haven't got anything like
that. Sally's been hiding all the paperwork from Sally Gilhurst. Knows that this is in your company's ASBO name, and you're in a lot of trouble.
It may well be. It might be with whoever deals with ASBOs in the council, or it might be with
the ASB team. Let me know, because it says that you had to have a consultation in your offices. Yeah, in this office. I am a Metropolitan Police Borough Commander for the London Borough. This statement is confirmed that on the 30th August 2000, a consultation as required by Section S1E 3 of the Crime and Disorder Act 98 was held between the Metropolitan Police and Enfield Council. This was in discussing application by the Metropolitan Police for an antisocial behaviour order in relation to Simon Caudill. Now, Pat and Steve made that application in your ASB team. Now, when I stripped your computers with the FOI information, like, they don't know. I've got all the correspondence that you're writing, Jackie Brand's writing, because you've got Daniel Ellis who releases information, but I went above Daniel Ellis, yeah? And I went to the Ombudsman and got the Ombudsman to go into your computers and take extra information out that you, Daniel, don't even know that I've got. Now, I've got your personal information of Jackie Brown talking to Louise Brown or whatever, and all you are talking to each other. Now, you know the deal about Mr. Cook. Like, from 14, me and my mum are writing to you. There's over 60 emails. Please protect me. Do what's right. Yeah, now, you have played neglect to all of them. Now, in 2016, Shannon's mum hanged herself and died, yeah, and I was going down to the hospital with Shannon looking after him. And I went up to Stan and said to Stan, you're out of order, Stan. You're not a judge doing this. Yeah, I've always looked after you like a father. Yeah, I've done everything for you. What you don't know is that I'm going and picking Shannon up every day. And then after picking Shannon up every day, we're going to the Royal London Hospital, and the mum and dad have bloody took an overdose because of what you are doing to us, yeah? And then the mum killed herself, yeah? Shannon's mum killed herself now, yeah? And then what happened is I said to Stan, you're out of order, because I've always looked after the guy. I've swum my life. I've never done nothing bad to him. I've never even had a house party. I've never sold a bag of drawer from my house. I've never done nothing. I've never had a domestic in my house. I don't drink alcohol. I might smoke a little bit of weed, I'm not going to lie. That's the worst you're going to get out of me, and I'd have to stop that if I was going to work for you lot. Yeah? And there's people, yeah? Now, I told him, the next day he went outside, then I'm on my camera in the corridor, and he starts pointing his fingers with that old man Bill. So then I've gone outside to Stan and said, you're banging out of wood, you keep doing this to me and Shannon, I'll bloody end up getting you in the park or something. Yeah, and then it was saying stupid like that, because in self-defense I had to do this to him, because of what they're banging on my wall. I've got bare videos of it, Stan banging on the walls. When I'm taking my clothes, second I touch my keyboard working, I'll show you the videos. I'm like, look at me building my constitution, and then they're bang, bang, shattering my head. I'm going into my bedroom, bang, get in my bath, take my clothes off, bang. Every morning I'm being sick in my toilet. I become like anorexic. I'm, like I said, yeah, I'm 8 stone now. I'll be sick in my toilet every morning because I can't eat food because I've lost my... And she's upstairs, 117, flushing the toilet above my head, banging above my head every day. I've got so many recordings. My friends stayed here in my bathtub, Nash and everyone. They all had to run out my house, yeah, and they all wrote witness statements. I've got like 30 witness statements of friends that have been in here. Yeah, I've got videos. The building upstairs... The flat above mine, the whole where I sit in my front room, if you go into the flat now, yeah, the whole floor's been so damaged. The joists, my flat needs to have supports in it. The joists need ripping out the middle floor and new balls need laying, and the same for the top floor. Yeah, the two flats above me have been so badly damaged, I can't sit in it. When they walk on their floors now, I jump. I put the application into your people to have the floor done when Debbie, because Debbie got left in there. I looked after her for 5 years. She'd always knock on the door whenever I'm coming in from a party. I'll give her a tenner. I'll maintain. I'll never let her in my flat because I could feel there's something wrong with her. I didn't know she'd lost her two children. I just thought she was like a nun or something, yeah? But then, now, after Stan started seeing her after his wife died, Stan's checking her. She knocks on Stan's door and Stan explains to me. She goes, "Hello, I'm Debbie and I'm an alcoholic and I've got mental health conditions." And Stan laughs and says, "Don't worry about that. We've all got problems. Let her in the house." He's an ex-alcoholic himself. They both start bloody getting pissed and everything. I've talked to Stan in person confidentially about what's happening between me and Shannon. He's told Debbie. Next thing I know, Debbie's above my head banging. The Matthew Uligan family, yeah, when I first come here, like when they first come here, 13, I was getting out of my car and I'd known that they was in the block for about a week before, 2 weeks before. I see the other Turkish boy that used to live in Christine's block next doors to me have Matthew Uligan, the big man, by the throat. And he's only a young kid. So Matthew Uligan's all tipping over, getting knocked over. And the boy's going to me, "Simon, should I punch him in the face? Should I punch him in the face? I'm just getting out of my car." So I go over to Matthew Uligan and to the boy. And I said to the boy, "Why are you going to punch him in the face?" He goes, and he didn't fully explain to me. But I said to him, "Look, you can't touch this guy. You're Matthew, you're the new bloke, ain't you? I didn't even know his name yet. You're the new bloke, ain't you? That's moved into my block." And he goes, yeah. I go, "Look, you have to let him go. He's an adult to both of us. He's living in my block and I've got respect and we must respect our adults." Yeah, because he's an adult and he's in my block, he's protected, yeah, and he's new here, yeah. So the boy had to let Matthew Uligan go, yeah. I never see Matthew Uligan after that for 5-6 months. I can smell them cooking their curry and all that in the window. Diana's left me, I'm on curfew for the gazebo. And I'm thinking, he's a lucky man. Why didn't Diana stay with me? Like, so I'm thinking all good things for these people. Then the government throw a little spanner in the works. Then these next thing I know, these people are attacking me. So I go upstairs, knock on Debbie's door and say, "Debbie, why are you doing this to me?" Debbie says, "It's not me." So I go upstairs, I knock on their door. They say, "It's not me." Debbie says, "It's them upstairs." So I go upstairs, I ask them, and the first thing they do is blame Debbie. So now I go back downstairs. There's no point in me having it out with the Matthew Uligans. My first person that I have to sort out now is Debbie. Yeah, so now for the first 2 years, all when your council officers come in here with the doctors because they realised that I was phoning up about the timestamps, they tried to take me away and set me up. So they forged a lane, an AMP worker, Maggie Fuller, and forged a section 135 with the cops. I had all recording gear in my house. They come here and I knew the laws because I wanted to look after them, so I studied them. When they come in my house with your council officer and the police, I kicked the police out the door and we had the recording, the meeting. I looked at the section, I said, "This is illegal. I got bare recordings of me phoning you up for months prior, saying I'm happy to have meetings with you and for your team to come and talk to me, yeah? And I had a meeting less than a week ago with one of your workers in my house, and he said he was going away on holiday for 4 weeks. Next thing I know, you've picked up his case while he's on holiday, and you're in my house now. You're trying to take me away." So, and then I said, "Is that not right?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Is it not illegal for you? Like, because the only reason they're allowed a Section 135 under the Mental Health Act is if you're in danger to yourself or you won't grant them access." So because I had been recording her all the weeks before saying, "Look, I'm happy for you to have a meeting," and I'd allowed the meeting before, she fully broke down in my front room on recording and confessed, "Yeah, we forged it basically to get into your house. Yeah, to help these police, basically." It's more or less. And then Sam and all the doctors realise how much trouble they're in. Dr. Abazam and the rest of them all realise how much trouble they're all in my flat. I've got the full recording. Once they realise that they can't get me out of the house and say, "I'm not crazy," they go, "I'm not crazy." I go, "Woo," like for a laugh. And then you can hear all them, like, psychiatrists go, "Yay," after. Then the second that they've done that to me, then I start talking about what's happening in my flat because I know they can't take me. So I explain everything Debbie's doing, a whole hour or more on the tape recording, bang, showing them the taps, the neglect. Debbie had two children taken away from her, light-skinned children. Yous lot know that. I've got bare recordings phone in yous lot asking yous lot to protect me from her. You're saying, "Well, she's got a good support network in place." But really, they weren't a support. It was a church, St. John's Church. They're normal people. They couldn't get into her house. And she's attacking me upstairs like the children that yous lot took away away from her. Yeah, she's damaged the building so bad that now I had to put the paperwork in for a new floor. The new survey, the people come out, I've got all the video, the builders chasing me around for 2 weeks with hammers, pretending to lay a new floor. George moved in. I looked after George straight away. You see that he had glasses missing. I said, yeah, George, here, my mate licked a load of glasses and he left a couple sets. Here's £180 glasses, take them. What do you want to be in life? He said, oh, I'm a builder. Yeah, I said to he goes, I want to be a music producer, that's what I do. So, well, give me a CD. I've got 20 million emails downstairs. I could help you. My mate gave me Outcry Record Label. I own Outcry Record Label. I've got a music studio down on Elsinger Estate. I'll give you the keys to that. And I gave him the keys to what he needed for his dream. He wasn't ready. He got bored in the flat. A little while later, he starts attacking me as well using the same tools. Because I didn't realise they had left the floor like a big piano in there for him to do that. And that they hadn't replaced it. Then after George has moved out, yeah, now they've moved this other boy, and he's a mental health patient, Umbrose. They don't realise that I know Umbrose. He's on the highest risk assessment. He's supposed to be done for robbing the post office at the top of the road. He's already seen the victim. He tells me that he'd done, and the bloke's closed the shop down. I don't understand how he's back in the same area to what he'd done. The risk assessment's completely failed. It's like you sort of moved him in here. He's got not one thing, not even a TV in that flat, yeah? He's been upstairs. I've gone into the flat. The flat's exactly the same again. So that's the second contractor agreed to do the floors that I've got the paperwork for. And he never got the floor done. The flats wrote off. Even in Sarah Fletcher's paperwork, she's saying the flats wrote, you can see it, the flat's in a bad state from what they left Debbie to do. And these are in there every day attacking me. Umbrose does it every day now, attacking me. I had to go up to his flat the other day, yeah, and try and protect myself from recording it. Lemmy's gone and copied Lemmy, your Lemmy. I've got him on recording saying, yeah, like I'm talking to him on a level like this. And afterwards, he's had 4 meetings with Stan after 16. Stan said, Simon said he's going to get me in the park after Shannon's mum died, and they pointed their fingers. I said, you're out of order, what you're doing. Yeah, Lemmy's come in, been biased, refused to have a meeting in my house in his decisions, refused to take any control of any of the past emails that my mum's wrote to you. He's going to put a possession order straight in, and I've recorded him saying this isn't correct what you're doing. Then on top of the possession order, he's scribbled all in possession order, I'm giving you a possession order because of you told George that he killed your baby. George, yeah, why am I getting a possession order from your company because George killed my unborn child, and you sort of wouldn't protect me in the emails? And why have I got a possession order for having a printer in my front room now for just trying to rebuild another company after you sort of destroyed my last two companies? Why won't you release me out of my house and call the EGM meeting? And why are you scared to let me come and work with you? He forged all the paperwork. I said to him, sorry for being, I said to Lemmy on the phone when I was recording him like this, when was the last, this is on the 6th of this month, just as he served as well. I said, when did you get get a complaint? He goes to the computer, you hear him tapping, and you can hear him tapping. He goes, on the 2nd of this month was the last complaint. And I go, so I laugh, I go, Lemmy, all of them are at the time limitation act then. Your role application's useless to me. I've got it all on recording, and he knows that I'm right, yeah, that I was right, he checked, yeah. So then what he went and done is he made another injunction order after the possession order, but then he added 22 more phone calls on it. He copied every single one of them, and he's aggressively banging on the door, doing this, doing that, intimidating, asking for money. But every time I went upstairs, I recorded it on my phone. And you can see me sitting in my front room, then banging on the floor like that at me, and Stan banging on the wall at me, and like me showing my computer going, I can't take this no more. This was this recording, for instance, 24 days before any of them ever made a complaint to you, yeah. And then I say to them, I can't take them. I put the phone on my ceiling watching it, then you can see her still attacking me, bang, 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 bang. Then I go out, I said, I'm going to go upstairs. I go upstairs, you can see me knock on the door normally. I've got recordings of her saying, I'm doing this to get council flat. I'm doing this to get new council flat. They live under the Merton law, which means that you have to give, it's the first law of our land, which means that you have to give any person a property to live or a piece of land to live under. Yeah, it's one of our first treaties, the Merton law. And then I'm a signed contract. I'm in contract. I'm a secure tenant. Yeah, you've left them up there after they've killed my baby. Every day I hear them walking. I flinch in my house. Yeah, I can't sit here no more. I feel sick knowing what they've done to me. If she does it whenever she wants. She comes in, they start banging on the floor. It's not fair that you won't take responsibility. Move them out. They're not secure tenants. They're in breach of their tenancy contract, condition 52, condition 53. I've got recordings of them letting people stay upstairs in their flat with them all the time, and they're not telling you. They've not fixed the fixtures to the building. They've assaulted me throughout. Yeah, and they've never done... I've gone up to them loads of times and offered them good opportunities. I said to the bloke, I see the bloke's Facebook because the postman got sick of what they was doing. So in 2016, after you got moved Debbie and they kept attacking me, the postman put his letters through my door and I got Matthew Illigan's name. So I checked Matthew Illigan on the housing registry and the rest of it. I found a 500 grand house that he owns, paid up for, in Walthamstow, Castlebury Drive, 42 or 43 Castlebury Drive. Beautiful home. They've been doing it up, yeah, and renting it out. So I kept myself quiet, said, I'm not going to be a snitch on these guys. Let me just see, even though they've done all this to me for 2 years and destroyed Shannon's life, yeah. Now I'm watching them, knowing what they're doing sort of thing to me, yeah, knowing that they're trying to steal my own secured, my only tenancy, and that they've got this lovely 500 grand house. He's attacking me one day. So I go upstairs, and Matthew Illigan's hanging out the corridor, second floor, out the window on the phone. So I'm looking at him thinking, this guy's out of all, he's left his wife with the new baby, because his baby's only 3 years old. And this has been, they've been attacking me for 3 years.
Yeah, it's a mental disorder when a woman don't settle to her child and she chooses to do something to somebody that she don't know or a person that's helped them once, yeah?
So I'm thinking it's just them, the Matthew Illigan and Matthew Illigan's wife and the baby. So I can't go in the house. Depending on my better nature, I cannot kick a door or do anything, and the baby's behind it. I'll never be forgiven ever again, yeah? So I just have to sit here and take what they do to me till someone does something right about it, yeah? So now I go upstairs and I say to the bloke, look, I see your Facebook profile because I'd found it and found it at the house. There's only one Matthew Illigan marking you in this whole country, and he owns a house in Walthamstow. So I was just listening to him anyway. I never said I knew his name after 2 years of him assaulting me. I said, well, why are you? He goes, I'm not a secure tenant. He goes, he's not a secure tenant because he never told me his name after I helped him in the beginning, yeah? So he never brought me no plate of food down from the missus. I think he must have felt embarrassed to say the position he was in to his wife. So when his wife's up there, she's got Debbie. Debbie's doing this. I think she went on a woman dominance because the wife's always washing the dishes and all that. He treats her like she's like half English, half Indian when he wants sort of thing, culture. So it's like she's locked away. She gets bored, the Indian woman does. She's always washing the dishes. And I think that's how the tap thing started, yeah? So now, I'm sitting there, I never done nothing to him. I say to him, he admits to me that he's from Walthamstow, so I know in the back of my head, oh, that's his house in Walthamstow, they've got the 500 grand house up the bloody road. Yeah, I do all the checks and everything, and everything comes up trumps that I'm correct on that, and that they're kicking me out my own house. They're renting that out, and they stay in between. I don't think this is fair what is happening to me. Yeah, I think that the council should help me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to email Lemmy, because he's not in at the moment. He probably, I would imagine he'd be back next week, because there's a lot of people not here this, obviously because it's Christmas New Year period. And I'll ask him to contact you. Could you give me your address?
My address is 109 Bancroft Avenue. Enfield, EN3.
Okay, and have you got a phone number that I could...
I'm contactable on 0208... 245-7454, and I also give permission for my mother to be spoken to, Lorraine Cordell.
Yeah. Lorraine Cordell, yep, okay.
And that's it. I just want the problems. So I think one of the best things that can happen is for them to be rehoused possibly somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not helping me.
I'll pass all your concerns on, because I mean, I can't actually do anything myself as such, but I can, you know, pass it to the right person, and then they can sort of contact you.
Who is that right person, Ian?
Well, it will be, I would imagine it would be Lemmy.
But Lemmy has fraudulently gone to the computer, and he has, I've got it on recording, he admits that there's only so many so many recordings to yourselves on a set date, the last one's the second. Then because I explained to him the laws and what he's doing wrong in his case, he goes and makes another injunction, and he adds 22 more things into it, all copied and pasted. He has fraudulently, under the Fraudulently Company Act, conspired to do this to me. Yeah, what they're doing is malfeasance of office. It's against the law. It's in joint circle. They're all admitting that they all know the first people to make. If you ever listen to the recordings that I have of Lemmy, yeah, you're just gonna say, oh, Lemmy. You're gonna know that he's gonna go to prison. I don't think giving Lemmy this case is advisable for any of us. For your company, said, oh, my company. He isn't responsible. He's not a reasonable person. He shows neglect.
About him, I'll have to find out.
Yeah, Maxim something or whatever her name is, and she is telling Daniel Ellis that he's not allowed to deal with me, even though the case is over. It needs to go to the executive director and an emergency. You are the highest ranking. You are there now. So why are you going to pass it down? It needs to go up, and it needs to be an emergency meeting needs to be called in under your company head. And you was quick enough to get an emergency application on me in 2016 when Stan and the Matthew Idigans called for once for a load of rubbish when we've been calling you since 14 asking you to protect us. You should have been here, done your case correctly, and I'm going to show everyone that you've breached your statutory duties and that your company, I swear to God, there won't be no turning around from this. This is wrong what is happening. Yeah, please can you pass this to Ian and can you ask Ian to bring this back to court and can to call an EMG meeting between yourselves, call the application, look in the folder, see that there is no signatures, no victims, and call this back to court and release me so that I'm not being held hostage in my house against a case and laws that are not correct.
Okay, well, I'll do that for you, and nothing will happen until next week.
Yeah, I can appreciate it. There's nothing much I've had to. There's nothing I can do other than keep documenting down what is happening to me.
Yeah. Okay then. Okay. Well, what I'll do, I'll pass it on and let all the relevant people know, and someone should come back to you next week.
All right. Thank you. I'd be appreciative of that.
Okay then.
You have a good New Year.
Okay. You too. Bye.